All right. I'm not going to sing, so I'm going to move that right there, Brian. No. All right. One word. What can you praise God for today? One word. Everything. Anybody else? Life. Salvation. Breath. Keep putting them out there.
Love.
What was that? Peggy. All right. Cowboys. Uh-oh. John, how much you pay him to say that? Okay. Anybody else? One word. Forgiveness.
Family.
Spouse. Anybody else? Children.
Freedom.
Grandchildren. Grandparents. Man. Okay. Anybody else? Wait. I think I hear some rocks. Anybody else?
Worship.
Jesus. All right. Yes. We've got people pointing over here. Jesus. Okay. Pastor. All right, let's get started. No, I'm just kidding. Man, yeah, 150. My goodness. Next time we'll get there quicker. I'm just kidding. All right, good deal. Any more? Godly parents. All right. Y'all think Jesus, God loves to hear that? I think He does. I think He loves when His children just voice their thankfulness, their gratefulness. The fact that we, honestly, I could get up here and direct that, yes. But honestly, we could stand here for the next 30 minutes if we were honest with one another. And we could voice those things and those words to Him. And thanking Him and being grateful to Him because He is so very good to you and I. Amen? And I think it's good for us to do that occasionally. I know that's not our first rodeo with that. Amen? Guess what? It's not going to be our last either, okay? So be prepared. There's going to be those weeks we have those opportunities to do that together. This morning we're going to be talking about worship again. But this morning we're going to be talking about where worship physically begins. A lot of times when we talk about worship, we like to talk about this setting here, and we've talked a lot about that. But ultimately, where worship begins and where it should begin and where it needs to start out, yes, is within, as someone said in Sunday school this morning, our own hearts. Amen? Amen. It better start there. It better be a great opportunity of preparation and preparedness and doing those things that say, is my attitude or my actions or my words, are they lined up? But there's also a physical location where worship begins that we have to do. And if we're not doing this, the fact that when we gather corporately together, which we call this, amen, we gather together in this room is not going to be very effective. It's not going to be very useful if we're not doing what Scripture talks about here, and this is called our home. Worship physically ultimately begins in our homes. Now, how many of you, don't answer out loud, okay? We're done with participation, okay? Just think now, okay? How many of you this week would say, okay, Pastor, I worshiped at home. I took the opportunity Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I worshiped right there in my lazy boy, right, in my home, so that this morning when we gathered in this place and we sing songs and we hear a message, I'm ready for it. My attitude's in line. My actions are in line. And that's hard to think about. Now, our home lives are pretty busy, amen? Would you say your home life's busy? Now, some of y'all, I know, I'm looking down here at certain people, and they're just looking at me like, well, it depends on if a nap is busy. I'm not sure. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, for some of us, okay, life is still pretty busy, okay? We haven't turned in the time card just yet. Amen, young folks in the room, okay? And so as life gets busy and it gets hectic and all the different things go on, sometimes our home worship can become lacking. Or dare I say, non-existent. Now we had a busy week at the Flack House this week. Just ask Kathy about it, okay? We had dance every night. Was it every night? It felt like every night, okay, if it wasn't. We had dance every night. Ryan had his deal on Monday night. So I can't even think straight. Dacey did like 60,000 hours of homework this week. It felt that way, didn't it, Dacey? Yeah, okay. I hope teachers are watching. But anyway, you know, all the homework, all the different things that are going on and all the different things. And sometimes our worship just becomes, oops, didn't get there, didn't happen. And yet we read in Scripture how it begins at home. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to the Old Testament today. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Title of this passage simply says, love your God. Now, boy, that's an appropriate thing, amen? Boy, if we could just do that, okay? Love your God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at the very first 9 verses together this morning. And we're going to talk about these verses and we're going to walk through them together and see the importance of having that time of worship with God. And you say, well, before we read the Scripture, we're talking about worship. You mean I like need to stand up in my family room and clap my hands and sing a song? Well, if that's worship to you, go for it. It's not going to bother me. I'm not going to come peer in your windows and watch you, okay? I mean, if that's what you want to do, but maybe say, you know what, I just need to pray. I need to have some real intimate time alone with God, talking to God in prayer. Amen? Maybe it is singing a song. I've shared with you guys. I enjoy taking my phone in my office, okay? I've yet to be caught. I don't know if I've been caught. Maybe I haven't said anything. But you go on YouTube, and there's a lot of really good Christian songs, right? And you put it on there and turn your volume all the way up and sing with it. Coach, have you ever caught me doing that yet? Yeah, hear yourself sing. Well, that's the reason I do that too, Brandon. But yeah, turn that, crank it all the way up, and then you just sing and you just have those moments alone with God. God enjoys that. He wants that. He desires that. And so we see in the book of Deuteronomy here, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses here. Follow along with me, okay? And then we're going to walk through it together and see exactly what it says about worshiping starts at home. It says, these are the commands, the decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. So that you, your children, get this, and their children after you, and after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you. And so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, highlight it, underline it, circle it, write it on your palm, put it where you can see it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot in that passage, amen? There's a lot to chew on. There's a lot to see there. And it's such a good reminder to us that God gives us a challenge. He gives us a call. And He says, listen, worship begins at home. Worship begins with you saying, I'm going to prepare myself in such a way that when I enter into this place, there's only an audience of one. Now, in Sunday school this morning, we've sort of veered off, okay, for the other classes in the room. Understand that you guys have your Sunday school books. And in our class, we've been looking at the I Will book by Tom Rainer. And one of the things this morning we looked at is I will participate in corporate worship. I will do those things. And that's one of the things it was talking about is our attitude and the action by which we come into worship matters. How we prepare for worship absolutely matters. And so we see first thing here, though. We see the first thing in verse 2 here. We see that this is a generational call. I love how Scripture writes it out for us. Notice it says, you, your children, and what? Your grandchildren. Doesn't leave anything off, does it? No excuses, right? This is a generational call. This is something that we need to be doing now, but it's something that we need to teach our children to do. And yes, for the grandparents, you're not retired. It's something you need to be teaching your grandchildren to do. What are you teaching your grandchildren to do? To love the Lord your God with all your what? Your heart, your soul, and your mind. Amen? Which is what? Worship. Teach your children. Raise them up in such a way that they have a desire and a love for worship. Listen, that is my ultimate prayer. As a dad, I pray this. Listen, a few years ago, you asked me what I pray about with Daisy and Ryan. It was all about salvation. I wanted nothing more than for my two children to know God. Both of them know God now. Both of them have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so my desire as a father now, what I pray earnestly, is that now and when they are older, they will always have a heart's desire to genuinely love worship. To desire worship. To desire to worship God in the way that pleases Him and honors Him. That's my prayer. That is a generational call to us. And we see in the Scripture this morning, that is what we are to teach our children. And so if we're not doing that, parents in the room, if you're not teaching your children this morning the importance of loving God and worshiping God, you better take a few steps back and restart. Amen? Grandparents in the room, do you love your grandchildren? Okay, grandparents in the room. Let's rephrase that. I'm sorry, grandkids. Do you love your grandkids? There we go. All right. Make it a football game, amen. Not a church one, okay? Listen. Yeah, amen. We love our grandchildren. You love them to death, right? If you do, you better start teaching them and living in your own life to have a desire for worship like nothing else. It matters. It says in the Scripture to impress upon them this generational call so that they will always want that. This morning in Sunday school, we looked in the book of Acts. It talks about having a devotion to worship. Is that our desire today, church? Are we devoted to worship? Are we willing to devote our children to worship? It's a generational call. We see that. Now, this generational call comes with something. Here's the encouraging part this morning. It comes with a reward. How many of us like getting rewards? John, put your hand up. I know. You're a Cowboys fan. You need a lot of rewards. I mean, easy now. Okay. It comes with rewards, okay? Listen, it says here, listen, if we can do this, if we desire to do this, if we're devoted to teach our children, our grandchildren, what does it say in Scripture? It says, you will enjoy long life. Boy, nothing wrong with that, is there? You're going to enjoy long life. You're going to increase. You know what that's talking about, right? A big old family, right? It says what in Scripture says, you're going to live in the land flowing with what? Milk and honey. How many of y'all like milk and honey? So just for our context, replace it with two things you really like, okay? Think about that just for a second, okay? Some of y'all smile like, yes, I get it now. Yes, I love it. I want it. Okay? I'm looking around the room here. I don't know. what, chocolate, Linda chocolate, flowing with chocolate and what, root beer? I don't know. What? Dr. Pepper. Oh, that's right, Dr. Pepper. Yeah, Texas water and chocolate, okay? Yeah, that's what I desire. And you replace that, and that's what God is saying here. God is promising us, listen, if we can get our act together, if we can teach and incorporate this into our children and our grandchildren, listen, if we can do this and show them the importance that it starts at home, it matters what we're doing, that worship begins there. Listen, I can promise you these things. And that is not health and wealth, church, okay? I'm not saying if you do A, B, and C that you're going to walk out and get in a new car today, okay? Now, some of y'all may want that, right? Okay, maybe. Okay, but that's not what I'm saying here. But what God is saying, He's guaranteed, He's showing us here in Scripture, if we do these things, here's what's to come. Here's the blessing from it. And quite frankly, we don't need those things, amen? We don't need those rewards because it's blessing enough for us to know that we get to teach our children and grandchildren to love and serve an Almighty God who would send His only Son for you and I, amen? That's reward enough for us. So He shows us that in Scripture. It also goes on in verses 6 and 7, and it says that this requires effort. It requires us to do it when? Next week? Next month? Next year? When I get my calendar in order? When I get this paid off? No, it says now. Now is the time. You say, but preacher, I've waited so long, and my grandkids are older, this, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Don't think about all those things. Think about the fact that you have the privilege and the opportunity to say, you know what, in my home, we worship God. In my home, we serve God. In my home, it's about God. If you start right now, it says in my version, NIV, it says to impress them. You ever want to impress somebody? Now, I could have fun with this one, right? You ever want to impress somebody? I'm looking around. Yeah, I know, Max. You try to impress her every day. I know. Listen. Impress them. It's literally what Scripture says. Impress them. Impress upon them. This importance that this is. So what you're really saying there, what's really going on right there is this. Listen. To impress them means you're going to show them how to do it with what? Your action, right? You want your children and your grandchildren to love the Lord their God with all their hearts, minds, and souls? You want them to worship them that way? Guess where it starts? With me and you. We must do it. We must be okay with singing out, right? We must be okay with praying. We must be okay with those things. Because that's how we impress upon them the desire to do that. The desire to want to do that. The desire to be devoted to that, just like me and you are. We have to desire that. But it starts now. Now. I know some of you in the room are saying, well, they're teenagers. They don't listen to anything and they know everything, right? Right? Are there any teenagers like that? I'm not looking on this side of the room, okay? Listen, there's a lot. Were you ever one of those teenagers? Yes, okay. All been there, okay. Doesn't matter. Listen, start now. That's what Scripture's saying. Start it now. Do it now. Impress it upon them. Another thing that we see in verses 7 and 8, this is a comprehensive call. This is comprehensive. This is not something that we can do on our timetable or our desire, right? What does it say in Scripture? When you sit at home. You ever do some sitting at home? More than others, okay? When you walk along the road, so let's bring this up to our day and age, when you drive, okay? I don't see many of you guys walking to Walmart to go grocery shopping, okay? If you do, call me and tell me, and I'll fall behind you in the truck just to watch you, okay? But listen, we drive, right? So when we drive along the road, when we sit at home, when we drive along the road, and then I like how comprehensive it is in this fact here, we are to begin our worship at home when you lie down at night. This encompasses every time of every moment of every day. So when you lie down at night, and then what does it say? When you get up in the morning. Does that leave any time that we can say, God, you don't deserve my worship? No. It encompasses our entire day. It encompasses everything we are, everything we're about, who we are, what we're about. It says that we are supposed to be all about who? Him. You're saying, Pastor, I'm just supposed to stay at home, or I'm supposed to walk along the road, and I'm not supposed to work and do those things. No, I'm saying all your work and all your efforts and all your life should be encompassed and should be devoted to whom? Him. That your actions and how you live your life in such a way that your worship, that even your work, what you do for a living, listen, it exemplifies and it is an example of who? Jesus Christ. Well, how in the world do you do that? You are the hardest, toughest, most consistent on-time worker there is. That's how you do it. Would you agree with that this morning? That's how we do it. It's a comprehensive call. We start worship at home when we're sitting, when we're walking, when we're talking, when we're getting up, when we're lying down, when we're doing all those things. Listen, it's always about Him. It's that simple. And the last one this morning, how do we begin worship at home? This is an evangelistic opportunity. And there's one of those churchy words, okay? Evangelistic, okay? What does that mean to say, I'm an evangelistic person? What does that mean? It says, listen, I am going to be God's mouthpiece, is what it says. I am going to live my life in such a way, I'm going to be the kind of person that prepares for worship even on Monday in my home, but I'm going to be the kind of person that in that worship, I am verbally sharing Jesus Christ. And how does it say that? So verses 7, 8, 9. Basically, in those verses, it talks about wearing your faith and showing your faith. Amen? What does it say? It even says in those scriptures, it says, put it on your door frames and on your gates. Right? What is that saying? It's saying display the one you worship. Be about the one you worship. Be willing to put it out there and say, this is who I am. But most of the time, we tend to, as Christians in America especially, we tend to hide it, do we not? Well, don't bring that subject up. I don't want to talk about that. That may be uncomfortable. Or we've talked about that before, and you know, people get upset and they walk away. So I'm not going to bring it up. And these verses that we see, worship beginning at home, it says that it is a witnessing opportunity. It's an evangelistic opportunity to show our faith, to wear it proudly. I can remember back, and now I'm showing maybe my age a little bit, but it's been a few years since I was a teenager. But I can remember back when I was a teenager, it seemed to be that you could see a lot of people wearing like Christian t-shirts and Christian things. Maybe I just don't see it as much, but I don't know what it is. But today, when I look around and with kids and even adults, I don't see a lot of that anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places. I don't know. But I think these verses, what they're talking about is literally displaying our faith. Being willing to wear it. To show it. For people to literally walk up to us and go, my goodness, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means I love Jesus. I worship Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. Do you think it would be an impact if at your home, maybe right on your front door, if you had said something on your front door that said, this house is all about worshiping Jesus? Would that make a difference? You know what you read in our house this telling? You know what you read if you come in the back door of our house? You know what our sign says? I hope I get this right. Kathy's like, don't say it, don't say it. What if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? That leads you to Jesus, doesn't it? But I think it's neat that Scripture points out to us that, yes, worship begins at home, but it should also be displayed at our home. It does matter. It should matter. It should matter that when somebody comes up to our home, or as it says here in Scripture, to our gate, the first thing that they should see, should recognize, is that we are what? We are God's children. And it should be displayed. Right there. Are we really willing to do that, though, church? So we see in the Scripture such a good, great 9 verses, and just walking through them this morning, we see that our worship begins right there in our home. But I would dare say, for those with kids in the room this morning, for most of us, we get so overwhelmed and so busy and so caught up in the days and the activities and all those kinds of things, a lot of times, what gets left out? Our worship. The one thing He deserves more than anything in this world. The one thing that's going to make the greatest impact upon our children and our grandchildren. So this morning, speaking of worship, coming out of the book of Deuteronomy, my challenge to you is simply this. Will you begin your worship at home? I think this passage clearly shows us that if we truly love our God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, if we truly believe that, if we truly live that, listen, our homes are going to be a place filled with worshiping Him that leads us, listen to me, look at me, that leads us to effective and wonderful worship together in corporate worship. Amen? Now imagine, just imagine for 1 second, just dream for a second. What if everybody in this room this morning went home and started tomorrow morning or tomorrow night or however you do it, started by saying, listen, my home is going to be filled with worship every day this week leading up to what happens next Sunday at First Baptist. Do you think this room would be impacted next week? I think it would be. I think God may do something in this room that may surprise all of us. Amen? But it begins with each one of us. And that's a cool thing. God's not going to force this on us, is He? Nope. He gives us a choice. He gives us free will. And He says, listen, I'm going to give each one of you the opportunity to make your home a place of worship this week. To display my love both physically and spiritually. I'm going to give you that choice. We can each leave this room this morning. We can each decide, okay, God, am I going to do that this week? Or am I going to be consumed with everything else and all the busyness that goes on? Or am I going to worship You? It'll be evident. That's my challenge this morning. But now, in this room, this morning, there's one major issue that we have to address every time we address worship is this. You cannot worship at home unless you know the Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
There's only one way to the Father, and that's through His Son, Jesus. That's it. Listen, if you're sitting in this room this morning, you say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've attended church my whole life. Doesn't count. I've been a Sunday school teacher for many years. Great. I've owned many Bibles. You know what? I own more translations than the preacher. Not going to matter. The only thing that matters is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, the only way you can worship the Almighty God is first by knowing Him personally. So that's my first challenge to you. Do you really know Him? Do you really have that relationship? This morning, if you have that relationship, you have that knowledge of that relationship today, are you growing? I've said it many times, church. Look at me right here. This is important for our crowd here this morning, I would say. If you're the same believer you were 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago, there needs to be some work done on that relationship. There needs to be a tune-up. I would challenge you this morning. Say, Pastor, I'm in that boat. I know Christ. I know what He's done for me. I know that He died for me. I know that. I believe. I've confessed. I know that He's forgiven my sins, but I'm just in a mud. I'm in drudgery. I cannot seem to get past that. It's not growing, and I desire it more than anything, but I need a little help. I pray that you'd make that first step. Because again, our worship with Him will not be effective unless our relationship with Him matters. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this morning.